I'd like to thank you for taking a few minutes to sit down and look into the amazing Word of God with us and try to understand what the Holy Spirit's speaking to us about in our day and our time. We're going to be working in the book of Acts today, and we're going to start the chapter 28 in Acts, which is the last chapter of the book of Acts. And by the end of this month of September, we'll have finished our study of the book of Acts. And then one of the great challenges in my experience is to dive into the book of Revelations next, which ought to be interesting. You might want to tune in for that, because a lot of the things that we see going on in our world today are written in that book that the good Lord gave to Brother John. So that'll be starting in October. I wrote this message for September 5 of 2021. The Bible titled it Paul on Malta. And as I said, we're in Acts chapter 28, beginning at verse 1, and we'll go from there. So, my outline, Paul on Malta, first of number one, Paul the helper, and number two, Paul the healer. So a very simple outline, Paul the helper, Paul the healer. So I want to welcome you to the island of Malta. At last, our storm is over, and a warm welcome awaited Paul and the others as they arrived on Malta. The weather was cold and rainy, but the warm bonfire and the hospitality were a welcome change from the trials of the last few weeks in the hurricane at sea. Have you ever noticed that this amazing thing happens? That the sky and things seem to be different or special after a storm. Have you ever noticed that? Storm blows through and the sun comes out, and it's like the rain washed all of the yuck out of the atmosphere, and you can actually see clearly the wonder of God's creation in the sky. The clouds part, the sun seems to shine brighter, and it seems brighter than it's ever been before. Or maybe there's a rainbow that appears, which are fun to see. That's the way it is after the storms of life also. Everyday things we once took for granted take on a new beauty. Life is invigorating. I've had several medical crises. One of the worst was my battle with cancer. And when I recovered from the chemotherapy and the stem cell infusion, everything tasted new and different. And every little thing that I could again touch and see and do seemed more exciting than ever before. And I think it's the contrast between the storm and the sun that we notice. That is why when the storms come, we can praise God in the midst of them, because we know the best is yet to come. The battles and the struggles of this life, as we go through them, we know that this is just a test. It's not the real life. And that after this, we will experience something a whole lot better. So I want to read to you from the NIV Bible, Acts chapter 28. And I'm going to start at verse 1 and go through verse 10. Once safety on shore, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us because it was raining and cold. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven by the heat, fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, "This man must be a murderer. For though he escaped from the sea, the God's justice has not allowed him to live." But Paul shook the snake off and the fire and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happened to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. He welcomed us to his home and showed us generosity and hospitality for days. His father was sick, in bed, suffering from a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to see him and, after a prayer, placed hands on him and healed him. When this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. The end. So I have a map on my PowerPoint showing where we started in Caesarea and then to Sidon and then up to Corinth and then to Fair Havens and then to Phoenix. And now we're on the island of Malta, just south of Sicily, almost to the peninsula of Rome. So the island in the sea, let's think about it for a minute. After they arrived safely on land, they learned the island was called Malta, a Phoenician word meaning refuge. And it was very fitting for Paul and his friends. It was a refuge from the hurricane. The island is a little over 17 miles long and a little over 9 miles wide, giving it an area of about 95 square miles. So it's not a big place. When you look at it on the map in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, it's just a little dot. So the wonder of them running ashore on this island in the middle of the Mediterranean is just phenomenal. When you look at the map, if they wouldn't have hit that island, they would have missed Sicily and went all the way across the Mediterranean Sea and ended up somewhere in France. That would have been a terrible ride. God was really good to these people to get them to land on this little island. Because of its position in the Mediterranean Sea, the Romans had made it an important naval station. It would be like, maybe for us, landing on Gilligan's Island. 3 days in the storm, where those guys were 15 days in the storm, and then we shipwrecked on the island. Anyway. So, our outline. Paul on Malta. Number one, Paul the Helper. So, here's what I was thinking. Paul was always a servant, first to his God and second to his fellow man. Paul was always serving. A on our right line, gathering sticks. I wrote the blank sticks. Paul was a hard worker. He would make tents and make disciples at the same time. He was bivocational. He would earn enough money to be able to minister. There's a rich insight in the scriptures into the character and the Holy Spirit and Paul. Clearly, the two of them were not content doing nothing. Clearly, they were not content just sitting by the fire. If there's a bonfire to keep burning, Paul was gathering brushwood for it. Paul was a man who had visions from God, but who also was a very practical man. It's good for us to know that the Holy Spirit and Paul were great personalities, yet they were not ashamed to be useful in the smallest things. That's important to note. Paul was a big gun. He was an important person, but he was not above doing the smallest menial things, which is something many could look at in our culture today. Paul had an attitude of a servant. Jesus had an attitude of a servant. Is this our attitude? When you look at it, Jesus came to serve. When he saves people, he is serving people. Paul had that same attitude of a servant. How could the two of them have the exact same attitude? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. Because both of them were surrendered and empowered by the Holy Spirit, both of them function in the personality of the Holy Spirit, who is a helper, who is a one who wants to help us, to work with us, to serve us. That's an attitude that we can take away from today's message. I read a short story that I think illustrates this point. It goes like this. One rainy day, a man accompanied by two women arrived at Northfield, Illinois, hoping to enroll his daughter in D.L. Moody's School for Young Women. They needed help in getting their luggage from the railway station to the hotel. The man noticed a man nearby with a horse and a wagon. Assuming that he was a servant, ordered him to take them to the station and get their luggage and bring them to their hotel room. So the man drove them immediately to the train station and back to the hotel. And when it was over, he refused any tip for his service. Only later did they realize the man was D.L. Moody himself. Moody was a servant like Jesus, like Paul. Be on our outline. The deadly snake. And the S word in your blank is snake. So we had sticks and now we got a snake. Like Job's three friends, these natives assumed that Paul had somehow sinned greatly. Today, again, we see someone indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit is one that is cool and calm. Paul was not rattled by the hurricane. He was not shook up by the wreck and making it to shore. And he was not at all shook up about, frightened about the viper hanging off of his hand. He was cool and calm. Jesus, on his way to being crucified, was cool and calm. The Holy Spirit will do that in us, with us. In one of Paul's armloads of firewood was a sleeping viper who woke up and fastened itself to Paul's hand. To Paul, that was no big deal. To the natives of Malta, it looked like a miracle. What's clear is it's no big deal or big fuss about it to Paul. In the World Book Encyclopedia writes this, vipers have long fangs attached to the front of their upper jaw. The upper jaw rotates, enabling the viper to move its fangs forward and backwards. A viper's poison is formed in special glands, and it follows the hollow fangs and carry it into the victim's body the way a hypodermic needle would do someone who is receiving an injection of a serum. Boy, I botched that one pretty bad. The point of it was how that all worked, and I was fascinated by the way God allowed the viper's jaw to rotate so it could get a good bite on whatever it was after. So, as Paul added wood to the warming fire, a snake bit his hand. Yes, it's true. Bad things do happen to good people. It's true. Bad things happen to good people. Because we are born again, because we are believers, it does not mean that God will keep us from experiencing bad things. That's a part of the test. Don't expect to always get by, to always get over and not have a problem. It's a part of the test. The natives expected Paul to drop dead or at least to swell up, but nothing happened. The people wondered in confusion. Was Paul a murderer or a god? I wonder how many of us do this same thing. Think about us. Do we do this same thing? We jump to conclusions at first glance without spending time finding out about the situation. Do we do that? We see one little cell phone video that's only a snapshot of the whole picture of what happened in some circumstance, and all of a sudden jump to craziness and violence and rioting, and we don't know the whole story. But we do that all the time in our lives. We see a little bit of something and we jump to a conclusion. And what's worse is that many of us share our unsubstantiated opinions with others, never giving a thought to the harm that we might be doing in the process. So we take what we don't know to be true, but it looks true from the little snapshot we saw, and we convince others that it is true because that's what we think. And that's terrible. Speculation or surface jumping is very dangerous. When you speculate about something or you jump to a conclusion with just a small bit of information, it's very dangerous. We see this all the time in people that are arrested for some sort of a crime. And even though our government constitution says they're innocent until they're proven guilty, if we look at the media, they're guilty until they can prove themselves innocent, which is backwards. So I was inspired by the Message translation of Acts 28:4-6. It reads like this. Seeing the snake hanging from Paul's hand like that, the natives jumped to the conclusion that he was a murderer getting his just desserts. Paul shook his hand off into the fire, no worse for wear. They kept expecting him to drop dead, but when it was obvious he wasn't going to, they jumped to the conclusion that he was a god. And that's the same pattern we do. It's not any different. See on our outline, you have the supernatural protection. So your S word blank is supernatural. So we had sticks, serpent, and supernatural. Jesus told his first 12 apostles things like this would happen to them, and he promised them his protection. The Great Commission, as Mark wrote it in the NIV Bible, is recorded in chapter 16, verses 15 to 18, and it reads something like this. Jesus said to them, "Go into all nations, all worlds, and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in many new languages and tongues, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it won't hurt them at all. When they place their hands on sick people, they will get well." That's the end. So Jesus told us these things were going to happen. And this is what Paul is doing and will do. When you look at it, the snake of Jesus' prophecy was there. The laying on and hands of healing is there. A lot of these things that Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit is illustrating for us in Paul's life. So number two on our outline, Paul the healer. So we had Paul the helper, now Paul the healer. The Holy Spirit and Paul had a habit of ending up in the presence of predominant people. Have you noticed that? He ends up in the house of the man on the island. A on the outline, the main authority on the island. Populus name meant pertaining to people. Populus was a high official, either a Roman or a local on the island, don't really know which. It's probably true that Populus was a chief Roman representative for that part of the island. That would be logically true. If it's a great naval port for the Romans, they would have one of their people as the chief man on the island. Populus entertains the group in his estate for several days. Since Populus' father was ill, Paul ministered to him and used his gift of healing. Paul was not so involved with himself and pampering he was receiving that he doesn't respond to the man's need. Think about it. You've been in a hurricane, not eating for 2 weeks. All of a sudden, you find yourself in a rich man's palace, lavishly being given everything you want and more. But Paul, rather than just lay around and experience the pampering, responded to this man's need. He wasn't willing to just lay there and be comfortable. He got up and worked. Paul's not taking his well-deserved rest and time to recuperate alone, apart from the cares of the world. He lays hands on and prays for Populus's father. It could have been easy for Paul to just rest and recuperate. He'd been through a lot. But he doesn't take that for granted. He is concerned about Populus's father. Paul's a true servant, and he is always aware of ministry opportunities. We, like Paul, are to practice random acts of kindness. Hospitality is important to God. So one of the other illustrations for us in this passage is how generous people were to Paul and his friends, and how practically generous Paul was. And it was just a random act of kindness, but we could do the same things. Are we good to people who are good to us? Do we return favors to people? Do we practice kindness within our own family? Do we treat children with respect? I question some of those things in people's lives. B on our outline, the man with dysentery. The man with dysentery. Dysentery was a very common ailment among people in the Middle East. And the Message translation of Acts 28:8, Populus's father was sick at that time, down with a high fever and dysentery. Paul went to the old man's room, and when he laid hands on him and prayed for him, the man was healed. That's the end. In some cases, the body adjusts itself to the invading organism, and there would be only sporadic attacks of diarrhea. But often, it was very severe, accompanied by severe abdominal pain, and frequently a high fever. When Julie and I returned from a month-long mission trip to Uganda, Africa, we smuggled in an alien life form. For me, it was just a minor event, a little bit of diarrhea. But for Julie, she ended up in the ER down in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. The parasite that we brought back had a much more dramatic effect on her. The interesting part of the story is, when we told the doctor that's where we'd been, he said, well, I could run thousands of dollars worth of tests to figure out whether it's this or that. And I said, okay, what would you do? He said, well, the prescription of the medicine for either one of those is the same. And I said, well, just write the prescription. We don't need to know what it is. See you on the outline. Many with diseases. Many diseases are your blanks. The word used here can be translated as receiving medical attention. In the Message translation of Acts 28:9, the word of healing got around fast, and soon everyone on the island who was sick came and got healed. The end. There are scholars that I read who think that this can well be, not only did people come to Paul, but also they came to Dr. Luke, who treated them with his medical skill. And that just seems practical and logical to me. Luke's a doctor, and he's always at Paul's side. So when these people come, both of them minister to people in different ways. Some things Dr. Luke is able to just deal with from his understanding of sickness in the body. Other things where they need the gift of healing to be restored, Paul would take that job. So they work together, I think. If that's true, this gives us one of the earliest pictures of the work of a medical missionary. I have friends who do medical missionary trips. This is the first case of that happening. D on our outline, the marvelous dignity of these people. Marvelous dignity are your last two M and D words. God took very good care of Paul and his fellow travelers. Paul was really well taken care of. The Message translation of Acts 28:10 reads, we spent a wonderful 3 months on Malta. They treated us royally, took care of all of our needs, and outfitted us for the rest of our journey. The end. So Eugene Peterson's research led him to say they were on the island for 3 months, essentially till winter broke, and it was safe to sail across the rest of the Mediterranean. So, Paul and his traveling companions survived the hurricane and then rested and recuperated on the island of Malta. And both of those God provided for him. God provided safety in the hurricane, and he provided lavishly for them on the island of Malta. So my conclusion, God's Spirit leads us to help others. God's Spirit leads us to heal others. Now, it may not be a physical healing. It may be a spiritual healing or a psychological healing, which in the day we live in, those are probably as prominent as any physical disorder. Sometimes it takes place in the storms of life. Sometimes it takes place in rest and relaxation of life. So don't just think because you're on vacation, you're on a break on Labor Day weekend, that there isn't someone, something the Holy Spirit's wanting you to do, like Paul did. The challenge is to consistently trust him and rest in his presence as we walk through everything. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so humbled and so thankful that you allow us to have this written word to look at, to understand and see how your Holy Spirit works through the life of Paul and others in the book of Acts. These illustrations are so important for us as we are challenged to understand all Jesus lived, all Jesus taught, and how Jesus and Paul both seem to function almost identically because of the presence of your Holy Spirit. We desperately need you in the world we live in today, God. So humbly, we bow before you in loving prayer and humbly ask that you would lead us and guide us through each day in Jesus' name. Amen.
When earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, the seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. and through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well with me. It is well, it is well.